when one who is a preacher scurries around to try to find something that would be more or less appropriate for a service such as this, he almost automatically, I think, turns to the book of Psalms. But even when he does that, his problem is not solved, because there are 150 of them, and many of them deal with true thanksgiving. And so in an effort not to be too repetitious, I searched for, and I think found, one that I've not ever dealt with before, though no matter which one you take, it is a matter of thanksgiving. But the 116th Psalm really stands out in the Psalter, and as far as I can recall, I've never dealt with it. And let me read this psalm. I love the Lord because he heareth my voice and my petitions, because he hath indeed inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I have life. The cords of death compass me, and the pangs of hell get hold upon me, and I found only trouble and grief. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I earnestly beseech thee, deliver me. Gracious is the Lord, and he is righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple, for I was brought low, and he saved me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath indeed dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. And so I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe this, and this is why I spoke it, for I was greatly afflicted. But I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now what really shall I render unto the Lord for all of the benefits that he has given to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and will pay my vows unto him. Yea, in the presence of all the people, I will pay my vows. For precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. And thou hast loosed my bonds, therefore I will offer to thee sacrifices of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to him. Yea, in the presence of all of the people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. I want us to think just for a few moments about three factors in this psalm. Very often, we do not take the time to get the background of a psalm. And Dr. R.W. Kirkpatrick, who does, in my opinion, the best work on the book of Psalms, suggests that this is really a picture of a Thanksgiving service. Now, of course, they probably didn't have it on November the 25th, or whatever this is, but it was a thanksgiving service. And he pictures this as the situation, and I do not think he's read too much between the lines. The congregation has assembled, and they are singing praises or hearing the word, and suddenly one in the group who felt particularly thankful for some particular things in recent days simply bubbled over with his feeling of thanksgiving to the Lord, and simply burst out in the congregation with words of praise. He says, oh, I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. And he apparently, first of all, rehearses a recent spell of illness. He was sick unto death. The pangs of death got hold upon me. That's good old English, for they were about to squeeze my life out. And my end was drawing near, and I saw no hope at all. But I turned to the Lord, and he graciously heard my prayer and my petitions, and relieved me and healed me. Now, my Christian friends, I believe that God does this. He does not do it all the time, and this is where the catch is. We get the impression that God is bound to act in one particular rigid way with everybody all the time. And as I tried to indicate in our prayer of thanksgiving, God sees the end from the beginning. And it's hard for us to believe that. He will say no now in order that he may say yes in a greater way later. And we Christians have got to see this and not allow the fact that we do not get the petitions that we make immediately. This requires Christian patience, yes. And that's an item that most of us are short on. But it requires Christian faith, real trust. Can you trust your Heavenly Father enough to say, now I know that this is what I need, and I need it now, Lord, right now. And so do it for me. And nothing happens. Then what? Are you going to blurt out, well, now this business about God's hearing prayer just doesn't work. I've tried it and it doesn't work. I simply want to call to your attention the fact that the whole book of Psalms is geared to this business of the children of God waiting for it. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And so, therefore, in this particular case, God saw fit in his grace to grant this man's petition immediately, or practically so. Thou hast, he says in one of the other verses, thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. And then there's another item of thanksgiving in this psalm. The psalmist recognizes God's sovereignty and his omnipotence and omniscience. And so he says, even if you had not answered my petition a while ago. And this is the important thing that I want us to believe. Even if you had not delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Even if you had not done that. Yet, because I know that thou art gracious and merciful, that right precious in thy sight is the death of thy children. My friends, this sounds like a New Testament text. But it's not. Even when you in your wisdom, inscrutable to us, mysterious to us, even when you do not grant the honest, earnest petitions of a distracted heart, give us the faith, the psalmist seems to say. To say, well, even if he in his wisdom allows death to overtake me, right precious in his sight. Think of those words. Precious in his sight is the death of his people. And I'd like to suggest, my friends, that among the many things that we could really be truly thankful for for our lives, for the kind providences which God has showered on us, for lovely friends and fellowship, for freedom. In addition to all of these, which are important blessings, the thing that's going to give us the motive to give ourselves truly to Him and to enable us with fearlessness to serve Him is the knowledge of the fact that death does not disturb God's purpose for you and for me. Of course, death is a common thing. Everybody sooner or later experiences it, and sometimes in great mass people experience death. And of course we notice that in the television programs now, no matter what country they turn their view on, you find Satan hard at work. Death and destruction. The most ignominious kind of treatment that people give others. Man's inhumanity to man. Countless thousands of innocent people, men, women, little children, lost and in despair and going through brutalities that no human being ought to have to stand. What do you think about all of this? Has the world really gotten out of God's control? Sometimes it's tempting to think so. But I think the psalmist would say that even when the pangs of death get hold on individuals and masses, when Satan seems to be having a victorious field day, and he is, that there is one who says, thus far shalt thou go, and not one inch farther. And the one who says that, and who means that, and who can effect that, is none other than the risen Lord, who holds history in the palm of his hands. And so as devastating and gloomy as the news is, from whatever quarter it comes, can't we really, individually and as a group, really thank God that as gloomy as the picture is, we can rejoice knowing that the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. And it's because the psalmist seems to feel this way that he says, therefore I cannot and will not let the gloom of the world distract me and keep me from rendering my vows unto the Most High. And so I challenge you with the psalmist to keep on living your lives with gratitude and thanksgiving and grace and peace and mercy, doing the very best you can as God's children, taking the blows, knowing that the risen Lord will in the end absorb them for us. And knowing, too, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His people. We have much to be thankful for, much to live for, and much to give us a real purpose of faithful, sacrificial Christian living. Only as a response in thanksgiving to the fact that we have a Heavenly Father, and not even a little sparrow that's sold at the marketplace 2 for a nickel and they throw one in for extra. It can't be very valuable. But not even one of those sparrows can fall to the earth without our Heavenly Father's attention and knowledge and approval. And are we not worth much more than many sparrows? And so the psalmist says, I will pay my vows to Jehovah. Vows, that is, I'll turn my life over to Him, all that I am and have, as a token of thanksgiving. And God help us so to do.